This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, there is a great scholar of Islam by the name of Ibrahim Asurti, who lives in Birmingham in the UK at this point in time. He's a scholar that you might have come across because he has translated many books as well as the Quran itself and done a word-by-word translation of the Quran. So you might find a book called Word-by-Word Translation of the Quran, and that's by Dr. Ibrahim Asurti. I know Dr. Ibrahim Asurti personally. So one day I went to meet Dr. Ibrahim, and his family told me he's very sick. So I said, why? Why is he sick? What's wrong? He said, don't you know? So I know what? Don't you know what's happening in the Muslim world? And then I thought, what's happening in the Muslim world? Well, at that time, when I went to meet him, the war upon Gaza was going on, Palestine, where Israel was bombing the innocent people of Palestine, as we all know. And so when that was going on, his family told me every single time some war or affliction affects the Muslims, then Dr. Ibrahim Asurti becomes sick. Every single time, his body physically becomes sick. He can't hold himself. He gets the cold, he gets severe flu, he gets a pneumonia. He's bedridden, and by Allah, he needs hospitalization. You know, it really shocks me. How many of us love our brothers and sisters to the point of our bodies becoming sick? How many of us love our brothers and sisters truthfully by Allah to the point of us actually not being able to bear it? And this is an example of a scholar of Islam who not only has knowledge in his mind, but also in his practices, until his subconscious self cannot hold itself, but it falls sick because someone or the other in the Muslim ummah is sick. And this reminds me of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said in that beautiful hadith, verily Muslims to another Muslim, Muslims to their brothers are like parts of one single body. If one part is diseased, then the rest of the body then tries to cure it by becoming hot, by being sick, by feeling sick. And this is exactly the way we should be. How can we rest today when our brothers and sisters are not resting? How can we feel satisfied today when our brothers and sisters are not satisfied? How can we go to bed with our tummies full and by Allah with us having a great rest by Allah tonight? How can we do that when thousands and millions of our brothers and sisters, from Darfur to Chechnya to Kashmir to Palestine and you name it, are going through some of the most difficult times by Allah? My brothers and sisters in Islam, I ask you all to feel brotherhood in your heart. Brotherhood and sisterhood of Islam, this love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planted in our hearts, is the most beautiful thing that by Allah, it's a pleasure, it's a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. There was a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that shows how valuable brotherhood is. In that hadith, and I remember when I read this hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, I prayed, I wish this hadith was authentic. Finally I found an isnad for it, and I found the hadith to be hasan and acceptable. The hadith was where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Umar to go for Umrah. So Umar radiallahu anhu went for Umrah. When he went for Umrah, he caught Umar's hand and he grabbed it in his hand and he said, Ya akhi, la tansana min ad-du'a. Ya salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling Umar radiallahu anhu, Ya akhi, my brother, do not forget me in your dua. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Wallahi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a word and he called me a word for which I would sacrifice the heavens and the earth if Allah had given it to me. What was it? Ya akhi, my brother. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, brotherhood and sisterhood is one of the most valuable things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. It is stronger than blood. It is stronger than the ties of kingship. Don't you know they are your brothers and sisters? Don't you know I am your brother and sister? My brothers and my sisters in Islam, we are all from each other. Stronger in ties by Allah than ties of blood. In the beautiful incident that has been reported by Ibn Hisham in his seerah, it was reported that in the Battle of Badr, Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu was passing by while some of the people, the POWs in the Battle of Badr, had their hands tied up. So Mus'ab ibn Umair passed by a man, and a man had his hands tied up very, very hard. So Mus'ab passed by and he saw this man, this Ansari was tying his hands up. So Mus'ab ibn Umair said, "Ya akhi, my friend, tie his hands harder. This man, his mother is rich. She will pay a lot of money." So this man looked up and said, "Mus'ab, I'm your brother, blood brother." That happened to be his blood brother. "I'm your blood brother in Islam. I'm your blood brother in biological relationship. I'm your blood brother, and you're saying this about me?" Do you know what Mus'ab said? Mus'ab said, "Uskut, innahu akhi dunaka al-yawm." Keep quiet. He is my brother today rather than you. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, this is what brotherhood is. It transcends all blood barriers. This is what brotherhood is. It transcends every single relationship that we have. Brotherhood transcends every single thing, because our brotherhood and our sisterhood in our religion, by Allah, this cannot be beaten. Umar radiallahu anhu, it was reported that there was one thing that would cause Umar to not sleep well. Umar used to say, "I always used to sleep well except when I remember two of my brothers, Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah." He said, "I used to love these two brothers of mine so much that whenever I remembered them, I could not sleep at all." My brothers and sisters in the audience, do you have friends like that? People that you love so deeply and dearly, you wish that they were your brother and sister in blood. Because subhanAllah, this is what brotherhood and sisterhood is. That by Allah, you can hardly sleep except if you're in their presence or with them or have met them, subhanAllah. Yesterday, when I came to Canada and I landed in Toronto, mashallah, I had a great time with the brothers. I had a great time with the RIS crew. And there are a couple of brothers over here in Toronto that I know, that are part of my team. They didn't know I was meant to come at that time. Apparently they had some miscommunication, they didn't know that I was meant to come. And you know what happened? One of them said, "I'm sorry, Abu Yusuf, we'll meet you another time." And I felt so bad. I felt so bad that these are my brothers in Islam. And yes, they have to go to their family, but these are my brothers in Islam. And I wrote to them, "This is bad. I came from 27,000 kilometers away and you're not going to meet me. Make time for me. Because by Allah, my heart is soft. My heart is weak. Don't give me pain in my heart. I want to meet you all." And alhamdulillah, I stayed up till 2 o'clock with them. And by Allah, the happiness that I had could not be replaced by sleep. Brothers and sisters in Islam, nothing is as beautiful, as sweet as brotherhood. Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, "Jala'u al-ahzan liqa'u al-ikhwan." What does it mean? He used to say, to remove your sadness in your heart, go and meet your friends. Meeting of the friends is a removal of sadness from the heart. How beautiful is that? Is that not the case? How many times we meet up with our friends, subhanAllah, and our hearts feel so nice. Alhamdulillah, ya akhi, how are you doing? Alhamdulillah. Just to grab his hand, just to sit with him, just to speak about something or the other. Ya Allah, how much sadness is it removed from our heart? Liqa'ul ikhwan jala'ul ahzan. Also, Sufyan ibn Uyayna al-Makki, rahimahullah, used to say, he used to say, ma ma'ul 'ish, when he was asked, what is the water of life? And he used to say, liqa'ul ikhwan, to meet with your brother and sister in Islam. My brothers, my sister in Islam, I do not have any friends. I don't have time for friends. I don't have time to actually have a bum chum guy, you know, someone you can just chill with. Because I don't have time to chill. I'm either working or I'm with my family or I'm traveling for dawah. So my friends are you all. You all are my friends. A few minutes ago when I was there in the speaker's lounge and we were sitting there, the brothers were talking, I kept on saying to the brothers, let's go out. Why? Because wallahi from my heart, wallahi from my heart, I love to meet my brothers and my sisters in Islam. Just to find out what's happening to them. Just to find out what's in their mind. Wallahi ikhwan, jazakumullah khair. Wallahi, nothing is sweeter than to meet your brother and sister in Islam and to put some happiness on their faces. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic hadith, there is nothing that Allah rewards for someone who puts happiness upon the face of a Muslim except Jannah. Except Jannah. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, remember brotherhood and sisterhood. This is the strongest thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ever given you. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this brotherhood that Allah has given you and the sisterhood Allah has given you is more important than every single thing that we do in our life. Including business. It was reported from Abdurrahman ibn Auf that he was a horse merchant. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was a beautiful companion of the Prophet ﷺ and a very wealthy man. It was reported that he was a horse merchant. But he used to love Muslims so much that whenever a Muslim man or a woman would come to buy horses from him, he would say, wait, before you buy this horse, let me show you all the problems with it. See, look there, over there, see that hoof over there, it's a bit broken. And see, come here, a bit of hair is missing from the side. Oh, by the way, this horse is quite difficult to take it to drink water. And by the way, this one's a fussy horse, be wary of it. And that one, by the way, you know, it's so and so and that and that. He would point out every single fault. And then when he had agreed on the price, let's say 1,000 dinar, he would say, no, let's make it less. Let's make it 900. No, you know what? It has more problems. Let's make it 800. No, subhanAllah, I can't sell it for 800. This house has even more these problems, that problems. Until they would say that, wallahi, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he couldn't make a profit from his business at all. Until his people who would work for him used to say, Abdurrahman, you go back home. We'll sell for you. We'll sell for you because you're going to drown this business. Because a man used to love people so much, there's no way he could make a profit from his brothers and sisters. Because in business, even if you are doing it ethically and Islamically, there's always a little bit of possibility of some mistake. Or perhaps a little bit of exaggeration in marketing, isn't it? And by Allah, Abdurrahman ibn Auf would love his brothers and sisters so much that he could not even profit from them. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, it was reported that Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, he used to have 1,000 people working for him every single day in his date plantations. It was reported that Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, at the end of the day, he had no dates left. Every single day, whatever they had picked, he would give it to the people. So his wife would say, Ya Zubair, where is the plantation? He said, I give it to the workers. I said, what do you mean you give it to the workers? The workers' fees only so much so. Where is the rest of the dates? And he used to say, don't you know they're my brothers? Ya Salam. They are my brothers and sisters. What can be more important to me than to make them feel happy? What can be more important to me than to put happiness on the face of this man? Ya Salam. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the ukhuwah that we are missing today. This is the love for our brother and our sister in Islam that we're truly missing today. Something that truly permeates every single thing out there and really touches our hearts. And in the authentic narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find a fantastic example of brotherhood. We find that a man in the authentic narration in Bukhari and Muslims reported that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to spend a night in your home, meaning a guest of Rasulullah. So the Prophet ﷺ stood up and he said, who will look after the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So one of the Sahaba put up their hands, I will do so. So what did he do? He said, I'll look after the guest of Rasulullah. So he took this man and he took him to his house. He went to his wife, he said, is there enough food for us? She said, what? There's only food for one person. One person? One person. He said, okay, do this. Put more water to cook, and then put the fire on, and keep stirring the pot, and put the lights out, and make it think like it's cooking and cooking, and whenever the kids say, when's the food, where's the food? Tell them it's cooking, it's cooking, it's cooking. So she kept on doing it for an hour until the kids said, where's the food, mom? Where's the food, mom? And in their tiredness, they fell asleep. Poor kids, hungry, they fell asleep. And then the wife put the food in front of the guest and this companion of the Prophet ﷺ. And because the lights were out, the companion, what did he do? He kept on putting his hand into the plate but not taking anything out and putting his hand to his mouth, pretending that he's eating, and the guest continued to eat. So the guest continued to eat, thinking that his host is also eating, until they finished off the food. They finished off the food. Who ate? The guest only ate, and the host didn't eat. And subhanAllah, the host, his wife, and these blessed children, subhanAllah, went to sleep hungry. Yes, salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse in the Quran. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. What did the Prophet ﷺ say in the morning? The Prophet ﷺ smiled and said, Allah was amazed with how you were with your brother in Islam. Allah was amazed. My brother and my sister in Islam, when was the last time you did something special for your brother and sister? When was the last time you did something really special? By Allah, for once, one day, try and go hungry because you've given your food to your brother or sister. Try it for once. And live the spirit of Islam in your life. Live the spirit of brotherhood in your actions. By Allah, give food to someone who is hungry. And see how sweet it feels, the pangs of hunger in your heart. By Allah, nothing more sweeter than that. Because you've fed someone hungry and you've gone to sleep hungry, and you know Ar-Rahman knows about you, but Allah. And He will give for you some of the most blessed food in Jannah because of that action. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, this is what is brotherhood. That you prefer your brother and sister over yourself. That you prefer them over yourself. Because by Allah, you would have wanted that for yourself too. This is the brotherhood and sisterhood that we want in our deen. This is the brotherhood and sisterhood by Allah that our religion has become so well known. It is for this reason why Imam Ahmed rahimahullah used to say, they used to ask him, Ya Imam, why is it that you don't like to meet much people? And he would say, because it is so difficult to leave them. It is so difficult to leave them. And I don't know how difficult, and I don't think you know how difficult it is for someone like me to meet people like you and then to leave you all. Wallahi is tough. Wallahi is tough. And this is by Allah, the brotherhood and sisterhood that you should all have. They used to say, Imam Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu anhu, rahimahullah, when he used to say goodbye to his friends and to his colleagues, he used to say, Intaha al-hayat. Intaha al-hayat. My life is finished. My life is finished. Meaning he would feel so empty in his heart by Allah that he's missing his brother or sister. He would feel like something has been taken out of his heart. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, I urge you all to taste the sweetness of brotherhood and sisterhood like all of these people used to feel. It was reported that Umar radiallahu anhu used to love Abu Ubaidah so much so that he would always want to visit him. And the only thing that would prevent Umar for 10 years of his life from visiting Abu Darda more than anything was the fact that he had the affairs of the Islamic government to look after. So once he wrote to Abu Ubaidah, who was then at that time Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah. He was then the Amir of Sham at that time. So he wrote to Abu Ubaidah and said, "Ya Abu Ubaidah, I want to come and visit you." So what did Abu Ubaidah say? He said, "No, Ya Umar, don't come. I don't want to give you sleepless nights and I don't want your eyes to be red." So Umar replied, No, I'm coming, I'm on my way already. So it was reported in the authentic seerah of Umar radiallahu anhu in Seer Alam al-Nubula fi al-Dhahabi that Umar radiallahu anhu went to meet Abu Ubaidah. And they stayed up the night talking about Allah and His Messenger. And they cried and they cried and they cried. And Abu Ubaidah said, "Ya Umar, didn't I say don't come? I didn't want you to sleep. I didn't want you to not sleep at night and I didn't want to see your eyes red." Yes, salam. My brothers and sisters in Islam, it was reported that Bilal radiallahu anhu made a promise he would not give the adhan ever after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said he made a promise after the Prophet died, "I will never give the adhan." So in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when Jerusalem was conquered and Bayt al-Maqdis was taken over by Muslimin, it was reported that when all the Sahaba went to Bayt al-Maqdis, and alhamdulillah they went there, then Bilal radiallahu anhu was there as well. And when Bilal radiallahu anhu was there, they went to Bilal and they begged him, saying, "Ya Bilal, please, Ya Bilal, one adhan." He said, "Ya Bilal, one adhan, one adhan." So Bilal agreed to break his promise, and he gave one adhan. And they said, "But Allah," they had to delay the salah for hours because they cried and cried. Because they missed the adhan with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they missed being with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the sweetness of brotherhood. This is the sweetness of friendship. This is the sweetness of loving your brother and your sister with your heart, by Allah. And by Allah, this is the sweetness that Islam teaches us. It was reported that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would love his brothers and sisters so much that he would remember them by name at night every single day, 70 of them, and he would beg Allah, "Oh Allah, forgive that brother." So he would remember, "Oh Allah, Abu Bakr, Oh Allah, forgive Abu Bakr." Then he would remember Umar and say, "Oh Allah, forgive Umar," and he would make dua for Umar and his family. Then he would remember the next one, the next one, next one, 70 companions, 70 of his friends every night, by Allah, he would make dua for them. It was reported that Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, when he used to visit Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, Al-Shafi'i used to say, "Uhibbu as-salihin wa lastu minhum." He used to say, "I love the righteous people, but I'm not from them." So at that time, Imam Ahmad used to say, "Bal, rather, akhi, my brother, tuhibbu as-salihin wa anta minhum." You love the salihin, the righteous people, and you are from them. And he used to give Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah only positive thoughts. And when Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah passed away, Imam Ahmad used to go to his son and used to say, "Wallahi, I make dua for your father every single night." Every single night, this is Imam Ahmad making dua for Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah, his friend, Ya Allah. Aina nahnu, where are we? Where are the scholars of Islam and the du'at making dua for their brothers? Where are my brothers making dua for me and my sisters making dua for me and maybe me making dua for you? This is what strengthens our community. This is what ties us together. This is what bonds us by Allah. This is the essence of brotherhood and sisterhood, my brothers and sisters in Islam. It is for this reason why Al-Dhahabi reports in Seer A'lam al-Nubula certain principles regarding jarh wa ta'deel. Jarh wa ta'deel is the science of talking about the narrators of hadith. And he says that because the principles of brotherhood are so strong in Islam, that if two scholars of the same era ever make the mistake of debating each other and arguing and fighting and speak against each other publicly, then by Allah we do not listen to each other's statement against each other. So imagine, for example, my brother Yasir Fazaga, for example, in the audience here. If I were to speak against him and say, "Yasir is so and so," And then Yasir comes down and he forgets his brotherhood with me and sisterhood with me. And what does he say? He says, Tawfiq is so and so. Then by Allah, what would you do? The ignorant amongst the Muslimin, some of you will follow Tawfiq and some of you will follow Yasir. But the intelligent one amongst you will remember that by Allah, we were mistaken. We were overtaken by shaitan. We should never have spoken about each other in that manner. So the intelligent amongst you will close the books. This is why Al-Dhahabi used to say in his book in Sirah al-Nubula, "Kalamul Aqran ba'dahu fi ba'd yutwa wala yurwa." He used to say what? Two scholars at the same time and they speak against each other, their statement is rejected against each other and not reported. Why? Because the brotherhood and sisterhood in Islam is so strong. It is for this reason why in Jahwa Ta'adil, in the science of looking at the narrators of hadith, the scholars of Islam do not accept the statement of one scholar about another scholar of the same era and at the same caliber and level. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Al-Ghazali rahimahullah reports an authentic narration in Ihya Ulumuddin from Abdullah ibn Umar, and this is the narration. He said, Wallahi, an authentic narration from Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, Wallahi, if I give all my wealth, mountains and mountains of it in the path of Allah, and if I were to pray all night and never sleep, and if I were to fast and never break my fast, and then I ended up meeting Allah on the Day of Judgment whilst I have not loved the people of goodness and hated the people of evil, and whilst I have not loved my brothers and sisters in Islam and have not hated the people of kufr and shirk, then I will be afraid that Allah will throw me on my face into the fire. What is he trying to say? He is trying to say that if you worship Allah and you pray and you fast but you fail to love your brother and sister in Islam, then do not think that your ibadah is complete. Do not think that your obligations have been already looked after. Do not think loving your brother and sister in Islam is merely a recommended deed. It is obligatory, my friends. It is part and parcel of your deen. And by Allah, I cannot find an example of brotherhood or sisterhood, something that is more touching than what was reported by Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah in his tafsir in the Battle of Al-Yarmouk about this man by the name of Hudhayfa Al-Adawi rahimahullah. Hudhayfa Al-Adawi rahimahullah was a man who fought in the Battle of Yarmouk. And when he fought in the Battle of Yarmouk, he went searching for his cousin. It was reported that Hudhayfa was not harmed in battle, but his cousin was severely harmed and he was about to die. So he went searching and he found his cousin on the ground. So when he found his cousin on the ground, he tried to give him water. When he was going to give him water, this man heard the cries of another Muslim that was also wounded in another part of the battlefield. So he said, no, don't give it to me, give it to him. So Hudhayfa didn't know what to do. In a rush, he went to the other one, the second one. When he came to the second man, he was about to drink, and then he heard the cries of another man to his left, somewhere a little bit further down, and says, no, my brother over there, go and give it to him. So Hudhayfa ran. Where did he run? He ran to the third one. When he ran to the third one, he found the third one dead. So he ran to the first one, his cousin, and he found him dead. And he ran to the second one, and he found him dead. Ya salam. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. At the most difficult time, with one sip of water, by Allah, he could have said, let me sip of water and then you give it to my brother. They didn't. And by Allah, Hudhayfa, it was reported that he saw in his dream that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entered all the three hand in hand into Jannah. So my brothers and my sisters in Islam, this is what brotherhood and sisterhood is. That you prefer your brothers and sisters over yourself even if you were in severe difficulty. So my friends, towards the end of my lecture, why should we have brotherhood? Very simple. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. He says in that beautiful book, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Verily, brothers and sisters, verily Muslims are nothing but brothers and sisters of each other. We are brothers and sisters. That's it. End of story. And by Allah, this bond of brotherhood and sisterhood is so strong that nothing can destroy it. Even if you backbite me, you are my brother and sister in Islam. Have you not seen what Allah says in the Quran? أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. Does any one of you want to eat the flesh of his dead brother or sister, but you dislike it? So he used the word, eat the flesh of your dead brother and sister, meaning therefore you are actually, he's still your brother and sister even if you backbit him. And then of course, what is the worst thing that you can do to me? Can you tell me what's the worst thing you can do to me? Kill me, right? Some of you said. No, I can think of something worse that you can do to me. What is worse that you can do to me is not kill me, but kill my child. Would you agree? If you kill my child, it's worse than killing me. Would you agree, everybody? If I were to kill your child, would it be worse than killing you or not? Yes, wallahi. Everyone would agree. But look at what Allah says in the Quran. He says about the wali al-maqtool, that he is still your brother. What does he say? He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقَصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى الْحُرُّ بِالْحُرِّ وَالْعَبْدُ بِالْعَبْدِ وَالْأُنْثَى بِالْأُنْثَى فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَاءٌ بِالْإِحْسَانِ. What is Allah saying? Allah says, O mankind, verily, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى. Verily, the punishment of manslaughter is death in the book of Allah. The free man for the free man, the slave for the slave, the woman with the woman. Then what does Allah say? فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ. So whoever his brother forgives him. Meaning what? Whoever the murderer, if he's forgiven by the guardian of the one who is dead. He is your brother still, and Allah uses the word أَخِي. Meaning even if you've killed the man's son, he is still your أَخ. Allah didn't call wali. Allah used the word akh. Akhihi shay'un. Can you understand that? That even if you were to kill my son, you are still my brother or sister? Can you understand that? If this is the worst thing that I can do to you, and this still will not break my brotherhood or sisterhood with you, what is wrong with Muslimin today that we break our brotherhood and our sisterhood and our love for each other for something more simpler than that? A simple thing like, look at the way he looked at me. Look at the way he spoke about me. Look at the way he jeered at me. Oh, he didn't come to my party. Oh, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. What are you talking about? Wake up! What are you talking about? Stop being childish. Your brotherhood and your sisterhood is far stronger than anything but Allah. There is no one in this audience that I ask that you leave this hall except that you've forgiven your brother and sister in Islam. Can I ask everyone, honestly by Allah, in my last few minutes that I have, can I ask you, everyone in the audience, to find someone next to you, to your left or to your right, that is your friend. A friend in Islam, can you find that person? Just look. Can you put that person's hand in your hand? Put that person's hand in your hand. Give them a hug. Give them a hug. Give it. Do it. And say, I love you for Allah. I love you for Allah. For Allah. For Allah. Ya salam. Ya salam. Do you know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He said, وَجَبَدْ مُحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيَّ وَلِلْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّ وَلِلْمُتَبَادِلِينَ فِيَّ وَلِلْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّ. What did he say? He said, indeed, my love has become obligatory for the ones who love themselves for my sake, for the ones who sit together for my sake, for the ones who give gifts to each other for my sake, for those who visit each other for my sake. So my brothers and sisters, this is the essence of brotherhood and sisterhood. It is for this reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. You will not enter Jannah until you believe, and you will never believe until you love each other. And this is the essence of love. And my brothers and my sisters in Islam, I end with a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's another hadith that I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I asked Allah, oh Allah, make it authentic. Sometimes you find a really great hadith, right? It's like, oh, it's not authentic. But Allah, please, oh Allah, please somehow make it authentic. Make it acceptable. So I can tell my brothers and sisters because it's so powerful. And Allah answered my dua. And I found the isnad for it and I found it to be hasan. And it's an authentic narration reported by Qurtubi and Asbihu fi Tirmidhi. And the chain that is a shahid for it is in Tirmidhi, Sunan Tirmidhi. So the riwayah is hasan, inshaAllah, acceptable. What is this narration? The narration is about the Day of Judgment. When the believers are on the Qantara, which is the last plane before the gates of the Day of Judgment, gates before Jannah, then it is reported that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will at that point divide between the believers and fix their problems with each other. So at that point, any believer who has a problem with another believer will say, oh God, this person, he wronged me. So Allah will say, take his good deeds and put your bad deeds to him. So he will fix up the relationships in that manner. So the hadith narrates that two men will be brought out. One man who is a friend of the other. And at that point Allah will say, did anyone wrong each other? And one of the men, the first man, will say, yes, oh Allah, this man, this friend of mine, he wronged me. So Allah will say, okay, take his good deeds. So the man number one starts taking all the good deeds from man number two. Takes deeds. And then Allah says, is there more? Yes, oh Allah. He said this to me on that day, he did that to me on that day. So he keeps taking his good deeds until that man has nothing but bad left on him. And the first man says, oh Allah, there's still more wrong that he has done. So Allah will say, therefore put your bad deeds on him. Until the man number one starts putting his bad deeds onto man number two. Until subhanAllah, man number one only has good and man number two has only bad. And what is the destiny of those people who have only evil deeds? It's Jahannam, isn't it? And what's the destiny of the one who has only good deeds is Jannah, isn't it? So at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen to this hadith, listen to it attentively. This is the only thing you take back from today. Then by Allah, it is beneficial. It is said that in the authentic hadith, in Sunnah al-Tirmidhi, in this acceptable hadith, that Allah will tell this man, oh so-and-so, to this first man, oh so-and-so, I will give you this and that. And I'll give you this and that, I'll increase you in Jannah, this and that. And you are meant for this level, but I'll increase you to that level. And the man, every time Allah will say this and that, and more reward, the man will start smiling and getting happier and happier. And he will say, oh Allah, why, oh Allah, are you giving me all of this? Allah says one condition. What's the condition? That you forgive your brother. So the man will cry. And he will say, Wallahi ya Rab, by your izzah and your jalal, by your greatness and your knowledge, I have forgiven my brother. So alhamdulillah, they make up. The hadith doesn't finish. Watch this. At this point, this first man will start to walk into paradise. The hadith narrates that he will be stopped at the gates of paradise and he will not be allowed. So he will look up to God and say, oh God, what happened? I thought you let me enter paradise and I have only good deeds and I've forgiven my brother. Let me enter. And Allah will tell him, enter into Jannah with your brother's hand in your hand. La ilaha illallah. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. Fa aslihu bayna akhawaykum. جزاكم الله خير بارك الله فيك يا بريد. I hope to see you again inshallah another year. I have a flight to catch and بإذن الله be you brothers and sisters of each other, preserve your unity in this beautiful country and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look after you and your families and give you all that your heart desires. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.